Thank you very much for inviting us. It's always good to be here in Besicar. I think this is the 12th time in 36 years that I've been here. And it's good to be here with my wife. The first time maybe in 20 years that Brigitte has been here. Now, some of you may have never believed that Brigitte actually existed. But now that you see, I hope you believe. The Bible reading this morning was actually a hymn, Psalm 130, from a very well-known hymn book, the Book of Psalms. And I chose this hymn because in this hymn, in this Bible text, I'd like to underline three very simple things that I see in this text. The first thing I'd like to underline in Psalm 130 is, it is possible to have faith in God. The second thing I'd like to underline is, it is possible to receive forgiveness from God. And the third thing I'd like to underline is, it is possible to have a future with God. It is possible to have faith in God. Although we do not know who wrote this psalm, we do know that he was going through difficult and trying times. He talks about being in the depths of despair. But in spite of being in the depths of despair, it is obvious that he had faith in God. Maybe he had been through some disappointments. Maybe he was going through a time of depression. Maybe he was going through a time of just being dissatisfied with people. But he had true faith in God in spite of his circumstances. During this time of desperation, he knew that when he prayed, God heard his voice. He knew that when he prayed, he was sure that the Lord's ears were attentive to his cry. Elsewhere we read, the Lord's ears are open to our cries. He was convinced that when he prayed, the Lord's heart was open to help him and to show him mercy. To quote another psalmist who was going through difficult times, he said, Lord, when I cry, you don't only see my tears, but you count every tear that falls down my cheeks. So this man is going through a terrible time, yet his faith was in God. He was not discouraged from trusting God in spite of his circumstances. Perhaps the psalmist felt as if he was in a tunnel. I don't think he felt he was in a tomb. I don't know if you've been through a tunnel before, but if you're in a tunnel in a spiritual world or in the real world, driving through a tunnel, well, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, and there are always lights on the way. And you know that when you come out of the tunnel, whew, it's a relief. And sometimes our trials can be compared with tunnels. We're going through them. We know that there's light at the end. And once we come out of one tunnel of trial, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be another tunnel. But through these tunnels, there are lights to help us, to guide us. But when you're in a tomb, in a coffin, there's no lights and there's no way out. And some Christians going through difficult times believe that they're in a tomb, that there's no light. But there's always light, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus. Have you been going through tunnels at times? Maybe today you're going through a tunnel. Or maybe today you feel as if you're in a coffin, a tomb. Well, the psalmist gives us the example of what we should do. Not only pray to the Lord, but he says cry to the Lord. Sometimes we whisper to God, sometimes we shout to God. But the psalmist knew that God could hear him. There's an expression in French, when you're going through a difficult time, you can say, I feel as if a slate has fallen off the roof and hit me on the head. And if you're going through a very difficult time or a lot of difficult challenges, you can say, I don't feel as if a slate has fallen off. I feel as if the whole roof has fallen on top of me. I mean, this is how this fella felt. But he says, I know that you are there. Before being deported and murdered by the Nazis during the Second World War, a Jewish family in Eastern Europe wrote the following words on one of the walls of their house. I believe that the sun is in the sky, even when I do not see it. I believe that there is love, even when I do not see love around me. I believe that there is a God, even though sometimes he chooses to remain silent. That's faith. One of our favorite hymns many years ago as a family included these words, I believe when I don't even understand. I believe when I don't feel your guiding hand. I believe in spite of what I'm going through. Lord, I believe in you. And the psalmist says the same things. In spite of my desperate situation, Lord, I cry to you and I know that you hear me and that you are not far away. Your ears are attentive. A few years ago, a man came to our church for the very first time and he was asking questions. He'd been divorced twice. His third wife was dying with cancer. And he said, you know, can God help us? The man got converted. His wife got converted a few weeks before she died. And they realized that by putting their faith in God, they knew that God helped them in these terrible, trying times. And that the Lord comforted this man once his wife had died. So I would say, trusting in God when it's difficult is very difficult. But it is not impossible to have faith in God when the going is all uphill, when the going is tough. Over the last 36 years in France, we've been facing many a challenge, many a difficulty in different areas of our lives and of our ministry and of our family. And we've always tried to say, well, God, you know what we are going through. You have allowed us to go through what we're going through. And we've prayed, please, Lord, help us to trust in you. And even if you find it difficult to pray and to trust, we can always pray a prayer that is in the New Testament. A man with a sick child said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I believe, but please help me in my unbelief. It is possible to have faith in God even when the going is very, very tough. Secondly, just as faith can be a reality in difficult times, forgiveness can be a reality no matter what we have done. In the psalm, the author asks a question. He says in verse 3, God, if you made a list of all the sins I have committed, then I would be doomed, condemned, damned. But, and there's this wee word, B-U-T, there is forgiveness with you. God, fortunately, does not keep a list of our sins. Otherwise, I don't know how many sins he would have on my personal Google Drive or OneDrive, how many gigabytes of sins I have committed. But God pushes on the button, delete, when we come to confess our sin and when we turn from our sin. The psalmist says, it is possible to be forgiven because he knows that God is rich in mercy, grace, love, and patience. I wonder if you know how many times in the Old Testament we find the word forgiveness. I asked somebody that question a few days ago and the person said, oh, probably 200. I said, no. Well, 250. I said, no, go down. We find the word forgiveness three times in the Old Testament. We find the verb forgive and the adjective forgiven a number of times. But the word forgiveness three times. Daniel chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, two long prayers by Daniel and Nehemiah, and here in Psalm 130. And it is clear that there is forgiveness that is possible so that we can serve God and live for God. And when God forgives us our sins, you know what he does with them? The Bible says he puts our sins behind his back. Isaiah 38. Micah chapter 7 says he puts our sins at the bottom of the ocean. In Psalm 103 we read that he puts our sins as far as the east is from the west. I don't know how far that is. I don't know if you know how far the east is from the west. But that's how far away he puts our sins from us. If we confess our sins, and if we ask God to forgive us our sins, because Christ died for our sins. Another verse in Isaiah chapter 44, he says, Isaiah compares our sins with clouds. Now, I see that in Doncaster today you have no clouds, but where I come from in the west of Scotland, there are always clouds. And when the wind blows clouds away, you know what happens after that? More clouds come, and more rain comes. But Isaiah 44 says that when God forgives our sins, he blows on them just like a cloud that disappears. That is true forgiveness. God does not deal with us according to our sins. God does not treat us according to what our sins deserve. He does not repay us according to our lifestyle. He is willing to give us full forgiveness if we ask him to forgive us. In Proverbs chapter 28, we read, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Either we hide our sins, or we come out in the open with God and we confess, we turn from our sins, and we decide to walk with him. Because the psalmist says, if we're forgiven, it is in order to serve the Lord, to trust the Lord. 2 months ago, we got a letter from a young man who wrote to the AMAS Correspondence Course office. And he said that he had been born in a traditional Catholic family in France. He rejected Catholicism and he became a Buddhist. But as a Buddhist, as a young man, he still found there's something missing in my life. So he decided to buy a Bible. And guess where he started to read in the Bible? The book of Revelation. He started to read at the end. So he read through the book of Revelation and he wrote to us and he said, two things struck me. First of all, how up to date the book of Revelation is. It talks about politics. It talks about wars. It talks about persecution of Christians. It talks about economical problems. It talks about ecology, pollution. Up to date. And he said, the second thing that struck me is that in the book of Revelation, it's clear that God will one day judge the world. And this young man began to feel guilty because he knew, one day I'm going to die. And one day I'm going to meet that God who's going to judge me. So the man started to read the Gospels. And I think more or less halfway through the New Testament, I don't exactly know where, halfway through the New Testament, he got converted. He realized that Christ died for his sins. And he was able to put his faith in Christ and to receive forgiveness from Christ. And he wants to serve the Lord, live for the Lord. And just now, he's going through a number of our correspondence courses because he wants to get to know the Bible. He wants to get to know the Lord. And he wants to live as a Christian should live. So faith in the Lord can bring us forgiveness from the Lord. And if we have forgiveness from the Lord, that gives us a future with the Lord. And this is what the psalmist talks about. He says, I will wait for the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. In fact, he turns to his fellow Israelites and he says, Israel, all you who are listening to me, put your trust in God. At the time in Jerusalem, of course, there were walls and there were watchmen on 8-hour shifts, as we would do today, perhaps. And the night watchmen were, of course, dying for the morning to come so that they could go home, have their croissant and coffee, and then go to bed. And then new watchmen would arrive. And the psalmist says here, I'm expecting God to work in my life just as the watchmen expect morning to come. He knew that God would come intervene in things, help him, just as sure as the morning comes. Because the morning comes every 24 hours. God doesn't always act and intervene and help us within 24 hours. He doesn't always deliver us as soon as we pray. Sometimes he does. But often he wants us to wait and to trust in him and to hope in him. And this is what the psalmist says. He says, in spite of difficulties, I will place my hope and my trust in God's unfailing love. 24, 24, 7, 7, 365, 365, and every leap year, 366, 366. God's unfailing, undying, faithful, personal love. He knew that God could forgive. He knew that there'd be a future with God, and that God had plans for him and for all who trust in him. We moved to Lyon 4 years ago. The following year, a lady in our church asked us to go and visit her and her husband. This lady had been married for about 40 years. She became a Christian a few years after her marriage, but her husband, who was an Algerian Muslim, wanted nothing to do with Christianity. So we went, and he didn't really want to meet any Christians. But we were invited for coffee and cake, so we went along, kind of, especially me, I was trembling a bit. And we were sitting there, coffee, cake, for about an hour. And the first hour, the man never opened his mouth once. So because he was saying nothing, it was obvious he didn't want us to be there. His wife was speaking more and more and more and more, quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker, to fill in the blanks. And I was thinking, oh, we can't stay here for hours just listening to this lady. What can we do with this man? So I realized that the man had the daily newspaper open at the sports page. So I thought, well, maybe I could talk about sport with him. So I mentioned the sports page, and then for an hour, he and I talked about sport. He was a new man. Tennis, rugby, football. Great. More coffee, more cakes. And then we left. And he said, oh, don't leave so soon. Please come back. So we decided to come back, but we learned during the conversation that this man was very, very ill due to different reasons. And we knew that his time was limited. So we decided to go back, and the next time we went back, I felt convinced in my heart that I should pray with him and read a few verses from the Bible. So we went back, and just as we left, I said, I would like to pray with you. Abderrahman. And would that be okay? So he said, sure. So I read a few verses from the Bible and just prayed. And then when I opened my eyes, here he was crying. And he took Bridget and myself, gave us a big hug and kissed us on each cheek. Something a Muslim would never do to a Christian. And he said, please come back. So after that, one or two other men from the church went to visit him. He ended up in hospital last year, in March. And once we went to visit him in hospital, he said, David, the local Muslim leaders have come to me to tell me I must become a good Muslim. And he said, I told these people that I've got a new book and that Jesus is my friend. And he told us how he had asked Jesus to forgive him for his sins. Last May, he did die. His family asked me to lead the funeral service. And during it, his wife asked, can I please say something? So she took the microphone and she just said, you know, for 40 years we had a terrible marital relationship. But in the last few weeks, I had a new husband because Jesus forgave him his sin. And my husband asked me to forgive him for 40 years of nastiness as a husband. And I forgave him because God helped me to forgive my husband. That's true faith. That's true forgiveness. And that man has a future because today he's with the Lord. Let me close just by showing you this old Bible. A few months ago, I was visiting my family in Scotland and my sister found this in her loft or attic in a box. And she found two Bibles. My sister's not a Christian. And she said to my brother and myself, would you like one of these Bibles? And my brother took one, and I took this one. And when I opened it, I realized that this was the Bible given to my mother the day she got converted. The date is here, and there are three words of advice. Every day, remember to, one, read your Bible, two, pray, three, witness. The 20th of March, 1947, signed Billy Graham. And I can say to you, in all simplicity, that if we want to have true faith in God, if we want to receive forgiveness each day for our sins, and if we want to have a future with God here, however long or short it may be, we need to read the Bible every day, pray every day, witness, tell others just by our lives and by our words what it means to have Christ in our lives. And I can tell you that God will help us to grow in faith, to live every day as forgiven people. And He will lead us as regards our future, whatever, wherever it will be. It is possible to have faith in God, no matter our circumstances. It is possible to receive forgiveness from God, no matter what we have done. And it is possible to have a future with God, no matter how long or how short it may be. Amen.